before and after if we didn't do it that day. We've read this entire letter together. Because if nothing else, if we get nothing else from it, we will have read God's Word and opened our hearts to receive what God had to say to these folks, and maybe it'll help us, like I think it must have helped them. All right? We're going to read starting verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you. Stop. Can you imagine the feeling that went through that audience when they first heard that statement? Here's the man that had taught them. Here's the man that had baptized them. Here's the man that had introduced them to Jesus. This is the man that had helped them build that church in Corinth and meet for that very first time. He stayed there when he was afraid to stay there. He stayed there for 18 months. He was there long enough to get to know them, and they knew him. He had worked so they wouldn't have to support him. He had done things for them that he wouldn't do necessarily for any other church. But when he writes them this letter, he says this, in the following directives, I have no praise for you. First response would have been, oh, I don't want to hear what's coming, right? And he just gets real pointed with them. Your meetings do more harm than good. Okay. I don't believe that's true of us. I don't believe that's true of us. But we've got to open ourselves up to this thought. If it is possible for a church that has trouble with immaturity, if it's possible for a church that has trouble with divisions, if it's possible for a church that has trouble with these kinds of issues, if it's possible for them that their meetings do more harm than good, we've got to be aware that it can happen here as well. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. That should never be the case. There's one head and one body, and we're all members of that body. Shouldn't be any division, but he said there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. Now, he's about to refer to something. Back in their world, I've been told it was called a love feast. For us, they had something called a potluck. We have potlucks, right? And that's when, if you've been to big church ever, potluck dinner on Sunday, and the attendance was always higher on that day. Potluck Sunday, everybody brought their favorite dishes, and they brought enough not only to feed their family, but somebody else. And there was always some sister or several sisters fussing about, oh, I don't think we're going to have enough food. And there was enough food to feed a small African nation. But they worried about it. But food everywhere. But when they came together to eat the supper, that was the purpose they were coming together. They also had a supper. And he said, when each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else, one remains hungry, another gets drunk. Now that gets drunk there is gets full, gets satisfied. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. So does he have a problem with the fact that they were having supper together?
No.
Make sure. What was the problem? That the attitude, the way they were treating each other. The folks that got there first did what? They ate all the food and they didn't care about anybody else. You know, it's funny, when we serve supper here on Wednesday nights, early on I could see some of that in us. There'd be people that would come here and, of course, because it's a come-as-you-are kind of thing, people start eating when they get here. But I can remember people not always having a lot of food, so they'd stack it up. Let's do it in terms of pizza. When we have pizza, we get 5, 6, 10, 12 pizza pieces stacked up. Couldn't eat it. I've watched our children do that. Put on more pieces of pizza than they can eat, and then people that would come in toward the end not have anything to eat. Now, that's adjusted over time, and we've learned to order more pizza. But I think some of our parents are becoming aware, too. Children don't need to waste food. And we need to recognize that this is not an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's a chance for me to have some supper, but there's other people that may come and have some supper. And if they're leftovers, it's always passed out. Always given away. I watched that develop in us. I watched an understanding of other people are coming. We need to pay attention. That's good. That is a good sign. These folks didn't have that. They didn't care. especially if it was somebody they were against. Oh, we beat the Smiths here, so let's do this. Let's dig in. Oh, we beat the Stags here, so let's load up. You don't want to beat the Stags here. They bring the dessert. All right, now. Point is, they weren't caring about each other. That's at the root. That's at the root of what made their meetings more harm than good, is they don't care about each other. They're not considerate of each other. And the best way I know to do this, it's because it was the way God did this. You know how you deal with selfishness in people? You know how you deal with immaturity in people? You know how you deal with division among people? You focus on Jesus. You focus on Jesus. And if people will focus on Jesus, it will change. It will change their attitudes. He said, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Now stop. We've read that before. We've heard Jesus teach that before. He takes unleavened bread on that night, passes it to the disciples, and says to them, I want you to eat this, and when you eat this, I want you to remember Me. So, the church, many years later, and miles away from where that supper took place, we're still meeting together to eat this supper. That's what we do. That's why we came together today. And there's not a potluck dinner, but there's a feast. Communion. A remembrance of Jesus. And He says, in the same way, after supper, He took the cup. And He said, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. Again, we've heard those words before. Jesus said them. Paul quotes them here, just in case we forgot them. He's going to take unleavened bread and have them eat it so they can remember Him. And He's going to have them take fruit of the vine and drink it to remember Him. That's what's supposed to take place on a Sunday morning, or on a Sunday when the church gets together. They came together on this day to eat that bread, to drink that cup, to remember Jesus. Now, if I'm doing that, what am I thinking about you? What happens to divisions? What happens to divisions if I do that? If I'm thinking about Jesus, what happens to those divisions? There's nothing worth fighting about, y'all. There's nothing worth being divided over. Because if I'm looking at Jesus and seeing what Jesus did for me, I don't have time to be thinking about what I ought to be doing to you. If I think about what Jesus is doing for me, maybe the thought would be, He's probably doing that for you too. So if Jesus treats you that way, or if He treats me that way, and He treats you that way, maybe we ought to treat each other that way. Read what He says. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Now, stop a second. Take a deep breath. We've heard those instructions. And for those of us who are just getting started in our walk with the Lord, and some of us brand new, that's why every Sunday when we gather here, that's why we have unleavened bread and fruit of the vine available. So people who want to remember Jesus, who want to remember what Jesus did for them, have that right, have that opportunity, right? Now, is it forced on anybody?
No.
It's a person has that right. But if you're going to eat that bread, and if you're going to drink that cup, if you're really going to celebrate, proclaim the Lord's death until He comes, what effect should that have on us? How should that affect us? That's the next section, folks. I spent most of my life growing up in church being taught that you had to take the Lord's Supper on a Sunday. I got no fuss with that. heard most of my life that it had to be unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. I got no fuss with that. I think I can show you in Scripture why we teach that. But I can remember having a lot more teaching about what we did instead of why we did it. A lot more teaching on when we did it instead of how we did it. So what I want us to focus on, we've heard what Jesus had to say. He wants us to remember Him. Okay? I want us to focus on what the rest of this instruction is. Because this was Paul, from God, teaching people just like us what they needed to know about this time with Jesus. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Stop. How serious is what we're about to do? That's why it's not a playtime. That's why it's not a teasing and a kidding and a joking around kind of time. It's a time where if you drink it in an unworthy manner, you're guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. That's a serious thing, isn't it? It ought to be very sober. I want to do this in a worthy manner. Now stop a second. Stop right there, because I know you. I know you, so I'm going to anticipate what you're saying or thinking. If you've had trouble in your life, if you've had trouble with sin in your life, and you're struggling to overcome that sin, should you skip the Lord's Supper because you don't want to take it in an unworthy manner? Is that what he's talking about?
No.
Because he's writing to a church full of people who had those kinds of struggles, like I'm talking to a church full of people who've had those kind of struggles and have those kind of struggles. He is talking to people who know about their sin but want His salvation. And because of that salvation, they can eat that bread and drink that cup remembering what Jesus did for them. So let's make sure it's noted. You're struggling with sin. You're feeling guilty today about things that have gone on. You want your life to turn back to the Lord. You don't want to live that old wicked life you live. When you eat this bread, remember what Jesus did for you. Remember what Jesus did for you. Now, let me take 1 second to illustrate it. I had a lovely little Bible class teacher, nice little sweet lady, that wanted us children to grow up to know how to take the Lord's Supper. And so, she said, take your fingernail, put it in the palm of your hand, and press real hard. And it hurt. And she said, now when you take the Lord's Supper, I want you to do that so that you'll remember how painful it was for Jesus to be on the cross. And I've gone through several classes with people and with youth ministers and other preachers to help us remember how bad it was for Jesus on the cross. Let me tell you one of the things I struggled with, and I think you probably do too, so I want to get this out of the way since we're talking about doing it in remembrance of Jesus. It does not say, the Bible does not say, remember Jesus on the cross. Because honest folks, you can't remember Jesus on the cross. You weren't there. And I'm sorry, but a fingernail in the palm of your hand may be a momentary focus, but if you press very long, you'll start thinking about the pain you're causing yourself, and then somebody will hear that you hurt yourself and put you in a home. That does not help. When you eat this bread today, when you drink this cup today, remember what Jesus did for you. See, I can remember what Jesus did for me. I can't remember Him on the cross. I wasn't there. I can remember that He was on the cross. I can remember some of the things that He went through on the cross because the Bible teaches me that. But I don't have to have my Bible open to remember what Jesus did for me. Do you? Because of what we've learned from God's Word, because of what we've experienced in our lives, we remember what Jesus did for us. So remember that. And if I'm remembering what Jesus did for me, guess what I'm not thinking about?
Your problem.
I'm not thinking about what you did to me. I'm not thinking about what I did to you. I'm thinking about what Jesus did for me. Now, so when I think about sin, when I deal with the mess in my life, I look at it and I remember Jesus takes that sin away. His body took my sins on the cross. 1 Peter says that. His blood washed away my sins. Acts 22, Revelation 1 says that. So, now let's keep reading. Verse 28 says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Now this is one of those things I think I misunderstood when I was a kid. I didn't get this. He wants us to examine ourselves. So during this supper, I'm not sitting and thinking about what you did to me. I'm not thinking about what I want to do to you. I'm thinking about what Jesus did for me. And what I need to do for Him. Examine yourself. Now, I remember the first time it dawned on me what this word examine means. It means to give yourself a test. And I would do it years ago when it finally dawned on me what the Lord was saying here. I would take a piece of paper, kept a piece of paper in my Bible all the time. And I would, during the Lord's Supper, I'd take out my pen and I would start writing test questions. That's what an exam is. Rex, how did you treat your wife today? Rex, how did you respect the elders today? Rex, how did you pay your bills this week? I mean, I wrote down specific questions to examine myself. Rex, did you cuss this week? I wrote down specific exam questions to examine myself so I could eat this bread and drink this cup in a worthy manner. And then somebody saw me writing. I was a preacher back then, and somebody saw me writing during the Lord's Supper, and they got on to me for not thinking about Jesus, so I had to stop because of the example that they were afraid I was setting. So I do it in my head now. In this place, I don't think you'd have any trouble if you want to write it out. But this morning, I think it's time for us to take an exam. I know we've got the habit. I know every Sunday we walk in here, that bread is going to be there, that cup is going to be there. It's going to be there. We're committed to that. We believe that's what the Bible teaches. That's why we do that. But I'm telling you, it's more than just eating a piece of cracker and drinking some grape. It's more than just a ceremony. It's more than just a commandment to be obeyed. This is an experience that is to be had. I am supposed to examine myself. So think about yourself. Leave everybody else out of the picture. Think about yourself. Look what Jesus did for you and examine yourself. What are you willing to do for Him? Now keep reading, because verse 29 is going to add a larger scope. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body, anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we had judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Okay. We'll go back to 29, this thing of recognizing the body. He's not talking about the bread there. The body he's talking about there is the church. I'm examining myself. I'm remembering Jesus, okay? I'm examining myself and seeing how my life. But I also then have to examine my life as it affects you. I've got to recognize my place in the body. I've told you for years, I've said it ever since it happened. David was about 3, Sherry was about 2. Maybe 4 and 3, or 4 and 2, or 5 and 3, don't remember. Right about that age. They were typical brother and sister. They were fussing about toys, and I always knew who started that. Hold up your lightning rod, y'all, because David, I would tell them, okay, now you can't play with that toy. If that toy is so important, we have to take that toy out of the way. Well, that didn't stop the fight. and I would be meditating. I spent a lot of time in my life meditating on deeper meanings of life. And to do that, you've got to close your eyes. And sometimes you need to open your mouth. So I was trying to take a nap, and these two guys are in the floor fussing about something. And you never could get them to stop. You couldn't get them to figure out who started it. So I finally just said, all right, you can't even play with each other. David, you sit over here. Sherry, you sit over here. Don't even talk to each other. Don't even look at each other. I go back into my meditation, and Sherry's little bitty tiny voice says, Daddy, he's looking at me. And I could have known that anyway. So I figured, okay, meditation time is over. So I got him up in my lap. David on the right was his side all the time. Sherry was on the left. We sat there and we started talking and we started singing and we started playing and that kind of stuff. And it wasn't long. 2-3 minutes. I looked down. Sherry has her head on David's chest. David's got his leg wrapped over her. They're not only just not fighting, they're loving on each other and singing and laughing and that kind of, and it serious dawned on me. The closer we get to the Father, the closer we get to each other. Simple principle? Simple principle. But folks, it works. It works. That's what the supper's all about. The closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to each other. But are you doing something to keep somebody from getting close to Jesus? Have you done something to keep somebody filled with resentment, filled with anxiety? Have you done that? That's what He wants you to examine yourself. Clean that up with the Lord, and then be sure to clean that up with them. So that when you recognize your place in the body, there's not anything keeping us all from getting close to Jesus. Because honest, if we did it this way, if we said, all of us now stand up and go take the supper, and we all walked over there together, there's not a lot of space in between us right now, but there wouldn't be any space left between us. And physically, the closer we got to that supper, the closer we'd get to each other. Spiritually, the same is true. The closer we get to Jesus, the closer we're going to get to each other. So that's what He's asking us to do. He gives them some instructions about when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anybody's hungry, he should eat at home so that when he meet together, it's not a result in judgment. And when I come, I'll give you further directions. They needed some further directions. I don't think we need further directions on potlucks except let's just have more of them. Here's what I want us to do. And we're going to adjust a little bit. We're about to eat the supper. We're about to have communion. There's unleavened bread here because Jesus used unleavened bread. There's fruit of the vine here because that's what Jesus used. That's what they used during Passover. That's why it's unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. Jesus taught His disciples that when they came together to do that, and they came together on the first day of the week to do that. Bible says so. Examples of it. Lots of places. This is not a discussion of, well, could you do it here? We're doing it today. That's all we're going to worry about, right? But when we eat this bread, let's remember what Jesus' body did for us. And God put our sins on His body, the Bible says. 1 Peter says that. 1 Peter 2. So, you're dragging around some sin, you got some guilt about something, let it go. Let God have it. Let Him have it. Let Him carry. He carried it already for you. He died so that could be forgiven. And that fruit of the vine, that little bit of grape juice, that's His blood. We're to remember His blood, and that blood washed away our sins. So first, you receive the gift that comes from Jesus. Receive the forgiveness that comes from Jesus. So when you eat this bread and drink this cup, lay your burdens down, right? But examine yourself. Examine yourself. Receive the gift that came from Him, but now ask, what are you doing for Him? What kind of things in your life need to stop? What kind of things in your life need to start? What kind of things in your body do you need to start to show Jesus you're grateful for what He gave you? How many things in your life do you ready? You know, and you need to stop them because you appreciate the fact that Jesus forgave you for them. What kind of things do you need to start so you can be more like Jesus? And then, when we've done that, let's examine ourselves as we recognize this body. Is there somebody in here you need to apologize to? Is there somebody in here you need to apologize to? Is there somebody in here you need to forgive? I've never seen this done. Let's see if we can do it. See if we got the hearts to do it. If we need to. Anybody in here you need to apologize to? Anybody in here that needs to apologize and it be heard by more than one person? I want to give you that time, Ruby.
I want to apologize to Rick for not putting 100% in our marriage when I was supposed to.
Ruby said she wants to apologize to Rick for not putting 100% into their marriage like she was supposed to. Anybody you need to apologize to? Anybody you need to apologize to, and more than one person hear it. Anybody here you need to forgive? They've already apologized and you just need to forgive them. Now let's eat this supper. And this morning, let's don't sing anything. Let's just have the men. They're going to pray and they're going to ask God to help us take this in a worthy manner. We're going to express our gratitude. We're going to remember what Jesus did for us. We're going to examine ourselves and what we're doing for Him. And then we're going to have some time to think about, man, is there somebody I need to go to and apologize for? Somebody I need to go forgive. All right, let's do that.